Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the gospel lesson. We pray, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we desire to thank you for your many invitations for us to pray to you, to call upon you in the day of trouble and to give thanks. Today we ask that you forgive us for our neglect, a neglect to call and especially to thank you. But we ask that through the power of your word, you would instill in us a desire to pray more fervently. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text is one of the incidents in Jesus' life where he taught his disciples how to pray. The disciples noticed Jesus pray infrequently, and so they ask him to teach them how to pray. And then Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. But he continues to teach with the rest of the text that we read this morning as well. Texts which shows us the need for prayer and the kind of prayer that God desires us to give from his children. But there's sort of one thing that kind of strikes you as a little bit odd to start with. Disciples were faithful in their worship of God in the Jewish synagogues, in the church of that day, but they need to ask Jesus to teach them to pray. And that's because, while the Word of God was still taught and read in the synagogues and was very active there, it had been sort of muddled up in many ways, either by the teachings of the Sadducees or the Pharisees. And the disciples really didn't know what was the proper way to pray. The Pharisees, for them, prayer had become a ritual. They just went through the motions of praying. They prayed on a regular basis. And as we know, one of the Pharisees told God how good he was and, so to speak, gave God a bill, telling God, since I'm such a good person, then you, God, should do this and this for me. And they expected God to sort of pay the bill that they had presented to him. And so that idea of prayer, unfortunately, is still with us today. Some people have the idea that God owes them this or that, and they expect God to give it to them just as soon and as quick as they ask of it. Prayer is a heart and the breath of a Christian, and yet prayer is more than words. It's also more than knowing one or two names for God. Prayer starts in our heart. It starts knowing that while we in no way deserve what we're going to ask God for, we're still going to ask. We're still going to ask that God would give it to us for Jesus' sake. And this is the kind of prayer that the disciples were taught in our text. And Jesus uses an illustration there, a couple of them. First one, he says, here's this friend, came at midnight to the house. And when he gets there, the person wakes up and lets him in. But then he notices that he doesn't have anything, you know, any snack to give to the person. They ate it all for supper, and there's nothing left. So he decides, I'm going to go to my neighbor's house. And so he goes to his neighbor's house, and he raps on the window, and he calls out to him, the neighbor's in bed. He doesn't want to get up at midnight to give him a couple of cookies and a pot of coffee just so he can sit there and talk the rest of the night with this friend who came in unexpectedly and wasn't expected. So he says, no, go back home. But the guy keeps rapping on the window and getting bolder. And finally, Jesus says, that neighbor's going to get up and give him cookies. Nothing else to shut him up and get rid of him. But he persisted. That's what he says. He persisted in his prayer. And because he persisted, the neighbor finally answered his request and gave it that. That's an illustration. Jesus says, too, we are to persist. Abraham did that in the Old Testament lesson. He persisted. But far too often, we ask, but we really don't expect the answer. We don't persist. Some people, when they pray, they sort of say, prayer can't do any harm. I've run across that in a hospital a couple times. Family and stuff is there, someone is sick and ill, and you say, well, have you prayed? And usually one of the young people say, well, no, we haven't prayed yet, but I guess it won't do any harm. And so they're willing to have a prayer. But I can also tell them it's not going to do any good. If the only reason we pray is because it's not going to do any harm, and that's what our attitude is, then our attitude says we don't expect God to hear it or to answer it. And if we don't expect God to hear or answer it, then it's probably not going to do any good in the end to pray with that kind of an attitude. If we don't believe, but we go through the motions, then it's just ritual and not prayer. And so Jesus goes on and he says, ask. Ask and you will receive. How often do we ask? Once, twice, three times, more? Do we persist? Answer that Jesus says is we are to persist in our prayer. We are to pray till God gives us the answer. Now, that's especially true when we pray for spiritual things. Many a parent has prayed for a wayward child. Sometimes they prayed for years that God would bring that person back to faith and renew their faith and the desire to worship God. And they persist in that prayer. They keep bringing it back to God year after year after year. And God says he will finally answer that prayer. If something is worth asking God for, then it is worth persisting in, continuing to ask. Failure to ask, failure to persist indicates that we don't expect God to hear or to answer that prayer in the first place. But then Jesus says, not only are we to ask, but he says, seek. Seek and you will find. If we're looking for a blessing from God that we've asked for, then we're to seek out that blessing. We're to persist in prayer, but we're to persist in seeking. If you pray that God would somehow or another, let's say, help you to find a new job or better job, but then you don't really go looking for one, you don't really put your application any place, you're not going to find that new job. God's not going to drop it out of heaven on your doorstep. We need to pray, and then we need to seek. And we need to go on and knock, carry out, pursue the objectives. We need to demonstrate by our life that we not only pray to God for it, but that we are willing to seek and to work for the thing that we've prayed for, that we desire it. So to speak, we need to go all the way, and then God will bless us. God will be with us. Again, Jesus uses an illustration there. It says, of an earthly father. And he says, if a child asks for a piece of bread, a roll, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give that child a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Now, we can't even imagine a parent doing such a thing. And Jesus says, if we who are full of evil and sin will not do those evil things to our children, then certainly our Father in heaven will not give us evil things either. But then we need to ask, would we give our child a rock in piece of a, instead of a bread? Now, if you give him a, he asks for a roll and you give him a stone, you know, you can find a stone that kind of looks like a roll. You know, we might think it's a pretty funny joke at first. But how about if he asked for a piece of fish, would we give him a snake? Or if he asked for a scorpion or an egg, would we give him a scorpion? Notice the things that he asked for increase in value. And the thing that the parent gives him in return also increases in danger, till it gets to be even life-threatening. Would parents give their children such gifts? Unfortunately, the answer is that we often do. We often do. Many parents want to make sure that their children are clothed well, right? We want to make sure they have plenty of clothing, plenty of food, plenty of toys to play with. We give them their vitamins to make sure they're healthy. But then we neglect their spiritual. We neglect to teach them to pray. We neglect to teach them about Jesus, their Savior. We overlook that. Many a child, parent, we want to make sure our children go to school. And then we want them to go on to a trade school or college to learn a trade so that they can earn a good living and find a good job. But how are we doing with the spiritual teaching? Teaching them the way of salvation, forgiveness in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe we even go and start the child in business. And then maybe we teach them a shortcut or two as to how they can succeed in that business. And what we're doing is neglecting to teach them ethics and the way to be a good businessman that is pleasing to God as well as earning a living in the business. We give them the deadly poison of the devil. And so what kind of gifts do we give to our children? What kind of conversations do we have with them in our homes? It's summertime now. Many of us have probably taken a vacation or two, and we're at those campgrounds, or maybe we go to a restaurant in a strange town and have lunch. Are we willing to say a table prayer there and let the people in the next table know that we prayed to God? Or do we kind of keep our faith hidden and under wraps when our children are present? How are we teaching them? What kind of gifts are we giving them? Are we giving them our faith? Are we sharing them our faith? Demonstrating that God hears and answers their prayers. Because God wants to give us good gifts. He says he wants to give us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that we can ever desire from God. For if we have the Spirit of God, we have faith. If we have faith, we have the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let us pray. Pray boldly. Pray persistently. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto us. The door of everlasting life will be opened if we knock on the door of heaven, seeking that God would open to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let us ask, seek, and knock, and persist in that prayer each day of our life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we give our offerings unto the Lord.